CliffCentral.com.
Hero of the Stupid.
Yep, we're here, we're live. It's 6:09 on a Thursday morning, the 8th of June, 2017. I'm your announcer for the show this morning, Muhammad Al bin Turka, Sal Al Walifa, Khan Khuram Al Khmakhbakha Makhbatak, the fourth. Hey, Mavs.
Oh,
your shout out of a cannon tonight to this morning. What's going on with you?
You're not Muhammad.
No, sorry. Were you excited about that?
I mean, did you not hear me woo woo?
Yeah, you were very excited. I think you thought you might have been a pleasure wife. You know what that is?
Do I want to know what that
is? Yeah, a pleasure wife is a. This guy died the other day who had a pleasure wife. His name was Khashoggi. He was a Saudi arms dealer. I was talking to Pumi and Muzi about this yesterday. So Khashoggi had. His wife, and then he had a harem of pleasure wives.
Oh, side chicks.
So, but he had to pay for them all the time, and they lived in his harem. It's very exciting.
Oh, okay.
So there's a possible. You know what she ended up doing, this pleasure wife?
No.
She founded Roxy, the line of clothing.
Oh.
How's that?
Yeah. Okay.
They've just published her memoirs. Very interesting story by the sound of things. So, you know, not every pleasure wife just stays a pleasure wife. Some of them become very, very wealthy and found their own clothing lines and end up being able to break out of the pleasure wife industry.
Ah. Yeah, you know, you've really got to make use of the resources available to you as a pleasure wife.
Oh, yeah. Like Khashoggi's money.
Yeah, no,
that's
absolutely.
A good place to start.
No, absolutely.
How does one organize a pleasure wife system? Do you have to, I mean, is it something that you have to sign up for legally? Do you have to live in a specific country?
Yeah.
Mostly in the Middle East.
It's cool. You're like, I'm officially pleasure married to this pleasure woman.
You have to, he chooses you. You don't really get chosen. She was in Paris. She was originally from somewhere in the U.S. and she was in Paris visiting and she was hot. And if you're hot and you're visiting a foreign country and one of these guys who's looking for a harem of pleasure wives happens to stumble upon you, usually in strip clubs and such places, then you could end up finding yourself some very meaningful occupation.
I'd love to know what the vows are for pleasure wifedom. I now pronounce you.
No, well, I don't know that there's a ceremony.
Yeah, I guess.
I think there's a transaction. There's definitely a transaction. There's like money in the bank or whatever. But if you're wondering who that other voice is, say hello again. Gord Laws.
Morning, everybody.
He's hanging out with us this morning and for the course of the week. And we have other guests on the show a little bit later today. A bit of bad news. Justice Malala will not be with us today. He'll be with us tomorrow. He's, you know, Justice. Ben thinks is an assassin.
Well,
here we go with another one of Ben's theories.
Yeah,
right,
well,
ben,
okay.
Let's hear it.
I think they're pretty good. I think Justice is a bounty hunter. I really do.
Okay.
Because, look, he's very smart. He's very suave. He's very elusive. And his backstories never, ever match up. And then suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, guys, tomorrow I'm not there. Or, like, 2 a.m, guys, I'm on a plane in, like, 4 hours. So, obviously, yeah. You know, he has these targets, right, mm-hmm. and these rewards. And then someone will spot a fugitive.
And he masquerades as a political analyst the rest of the time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then he just somehow hotfoots it to a place, gets his job done, and then comes back and smiles and talks about politics.
Hmm. Okay,
you may be onto something, because we got word yesterday.
Fear eats justice. I really, really am sorry, but I won't be able to come tomorrow.
Oh, why, Justice?
The rain in Cape Town.
That's it. He comes up with these excuses, and then he puts down the phone, and we just go, oh, okay, Justice, we'll see you the day
his
after.
His exact words were, he's flying out. I was too intimidated.
Well, he's probably going to Syria to foment the rebellion. Who knows?
Why and how.
But alas, where he goes.
He'll be back tomorrow.
But the thing is, with private jets nowadays, right?
Yeah.
You can go anywhere quite quickly, and that's what Justice does. Justice is actually like a James Bond.
Mm. All right, I like this theory.
I think it's true. I think someone has to tell him. Where's Lucas? Lucas must not worry about the Zamas and Velcom. It's now just literally tailing Justice.
Yeah, I think if you could follow him, that could be quite interesting. I mean, maybe that's something you want to do.
Yeah, I think I will do that with my midnight mystery.
Just got to tell you that our friend Lucas here is going to be moving on to greener pastures soon. He's just got a very important job. We can't say where.
Justice is sideman.
Perhaps.
Oh. Justice is gun caddy.
But Lucas will be with us for a few more days, and then he's off to pursue all kinds of exciting new things. So we'll miss you, man, and thank you for everything you've done on the show. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much. But, you know, I'll always call in and try to troll you guys.
Yes.
You troll.
Yes, you keep trolling her. You troll. How dare you, you troll. All right. The other person that we've got here this morning is Amanda, and Amanda's cousin. Hey, Amanda.
Hey.
You good this morning?
Yeah. Yes. How's everyone doing?
Excellent. Very, very good. Are you doing well?
I'm 100.
Are you nervous about bringing your cousin in here? You think that you may be throwing her to the wolves?
I'm worried what she's going to tell you about me, but other than that, she can do what she needs to do.
We're not here to do character assassination on you, trust me. Yeah, not even Justice could get that right. But we will get your cousin, who we get to call Extra, because that's what you call her, and that's what everybody else in the group of friends calls her now, right?
Extra.
Yeah, we'll have Extra in here. You know what? Actually, bring her in. Let's give her one of these microphones. And Extra, you come and meet everybody. We're very excited to meet you. We've heard very good things from your cousin Amanda about you. So here she is, all the way from Australia. Grab a seat right there. That's very good. How are you, Extra? Nice to see you. Yeah, all right. So you came here from Australia, what, 2 weeks ago or so?
And I came here since March the 8th.
Oh, wow. You've been here a long time.
Yeah, I'm here till September the 1st.
Oh, my God. What are they going to do with you all that time?
I have to work.
What kind of work are you looking for? You got some already?
I got some already.
Okay, what are you doing?
I work at my uncle's hunting farm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Are you reloading the guns? What are you
no,
doing?
Not yet.
Not right. Yet.
I am the cook and the cleaner.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's very good. So they're outsourcing that kind of work to Australia now.
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff. So tell me about Australia, first of all. Whereabouts in Aussie are you from?
I'm from Perth.
Oh, okay. Western Australia.
Yeah.
Perth is apparently quite interesting.
It's so good. Love it.
It's one of the fastest growing places in the world because they've got all that mining in Western Australia, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My boyfriend actually works in a mining company, and his family.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is the boyfriend who doesn't know that you're here in South Africa having fun.
Oh, he does know, but he's so upset. He misses me already. He's like, I miss you already. Just
well,
come home.
Maybe that has something to do with the fact that you're already canoodling with Amanda's friends.
Ooh.
Huh? No.
Uh-huh.
Is that not true? I heard that you were already trying to hook up with some of her friends.
No, not really.
What does that mean, not really?
Robin, be straightforward. He took you to Ocean Basket last night. Be straightforward.
Oh, Ocean Baskets.
Wow. Everyone's saying what happens in South Africa stays in South Africa.
Okay, yeah.
And what happens in Ocean Basket definitely stays Ocean Basket.
Robin, the one thing you need to know about us, we don't judge here. We just all tell our stories. We know, for example, that Mabale has used various household implements for her own pleasure. Sia, for example, often gets his nipples twisted by his lovers. Ben and Daniela bang like a swing door in a hurricane. So, you know, everybody's got their stories.
And these are your young and juicy years.
Oh, yeah.
You are a ripe young mango once in your life. You know?
Look at Sia.
One day you'll be dried, shriveled fruit, so enjoy it.
Well, yesterday I got my nipples done. And my mum's...
You got your nipples pierced.
Yes.
Now, is this very painful?
That just sounds painful listening to it.
The guy was talking to me, so I got distracted, and then it was done.
So he says to you, oh, look over there, a hardy dog, and he clamps your tit right there.
He says, you got really nice boobs and all that. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then I was saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my tattoos on and all that stuff. Yeah. And then,
okay, but how long is the whole process?
It literally took 30 seconds or so.
Wow.
For each nipple?
Did you scream?
Oh, you did what?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you scream?
No.
Do they anesthetize it? Do they kind of...
They just put like a tube and needle through it and then
Were you there, Amanda? Were you there for the whole thing?
She wasn't allowed. But I wasn't allowed to go inside, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it did go very quiet, like, when she was getting it done. Like, the talking stopped. Everything went quiet. So my other cousin and I reckon that she hooked up with the guy.
Oh. Amanda, you have a very low opinion of your cousin. You know that?
Robin, it went quiet, dude. We told you.
He was concentrating. He was, like, really close up to my nipple. And he was
guys were talking so much. Then 1 minute, it was just dead quiet.
Tell me, have... Your friends, do your friends know that you have a black cousin? Do they understand this in Australia?
No.
Because I think South Africans struggle to understand it, but Australians probably understand it even less.
Well, my mum knows, but my friends don't really know that.
Would they understand if you said to them, this is Amanda, my cousin, you showed them a picture, they'd fall over, right?
They'll be like, it's pretty cool. It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Sorry, hang on a second. Getting back to the nipples. So, did you want to get both? It was too sore, so you just did the one?
No, I only did one because I want to get one done in South Africa and the other one done in Australia.
International boobs.
Symbolic. That's very good.
I was born here but raised in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, which was it? The left or the right?
Left.
Very good.
Yes.
And you want to get some tattoos there too?
I want to get my back done of angel wings.
What have you got so far, tattoo-wise?
I got this one done.
What is that?
It's a love heart symbol that combines into infinity. So it's my mum and I, our love together.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, that's very... So you're very tight with your mum, right?
Very close. Okay, she just got a back operation on Wednesday last week.
In Australia?
Yes.
Okay. Are you checking in on her every day?
Oh, I'm talking to her now.
Okay. Yes. All right, so does she approve of this nipple piercing thing?
Not at all.
Uh-oh.
She said, just get a belly ring, and then when you come back to Australia, I can get your nose done and your tattoo for your birthday.
Wow.
And I said, okay, that's a deal, but...
There's a whole roadmap to piercings and tattoos going on with you, huh?
How old are you, Robert?
I'm 19.
19.
Wow.
Mm. Okay.
Still young.
Yeah, but you don't... You know what? These days, I see people getting tattoos very young. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's, you must do what you want. It's your body. It's your canvas. Paint it as you wish.
Yes.
Yeah. It's part of your character.
Do as you wish.
Damn right. Who the hell are these people who think that that's unacceptable? Like Amanda, I can see her judging you from over there.
She always judges me.
Robin,
but in a good way.
I have tattoos and stuff. I'm not judging you. Gosh.
She just gave you the filthiest look when you said she's always judging me.
She just gave you the kind of look that would have you assassinated with immediate effect.
Yeah.
That is when you are grateful she's in another room.
All right, so while you're here in South Africa, you can have some fun. You're working, obviously, and it's kind of like you're getting some experience. It's almost like a gap year, right?
Well, I am also seeing my dad for the first time in 12 years.
Okay.
Next week, Thursday.
Did you guys have much of a relationship?
We did. We did talk about it on the phone and that, but I'm really excited seeing him.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice to connect with everybody. Yeah. I hear about these nights that Amanda and her friends go out. Are they quite wild, this crew of people?
They call it the Geordie Shore.
Yeah. Isando Vale.
Yeah, Isando Shore.
Isando Shore.
It's pretty cool.
So out of these people, I hear that they drink a lot.
Yes.
More than Australians?
No, we drink more.
Okay. Because in Australia, they're quite strict about drinking in public.
And
you can't drive if you drink in Australia. There's no way. You'll be locked up for life.
Yes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yes.
And apparently the bar will stop serving you if they think you're too drunk in Australia. In South Africa, they'll say, have some more.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that what happens? Or is in Perth, they just keep on serving you?
They stop, but they're really, really strict right now because there's lots of teenagers getting killed by drunk drivers. So they're getting more strict with getting your license now.
When they say lots in Australia, it's about four. I mean, in South Africa, we'd have to lose upwards of 400,000 teenagers for us to change the law. Who do you think has a wilder sort of nightlife and more exciting stuff to do? And is it Perth or Johannesburg?
I think both of you guys. Like,
it's
pretty wild.
Do you think that people in the Isando Vale Shore that we were speaking about earlier, Amanda's friends, do you think they're more aggressive? They get into fights more often?
You mean Taylor?
Well, I don't know which one in particular.
Well, she's a very nice girl.
Yeah.
But there was a big fallout at the end.
No.
I can't remember.
Shame if you're listening, Taylor. I love you.
Yes.
All right. What happened here? Come on, give me the story. You won't get into trouble, I promise.
So what I heard and saw was there was this guy, Theo, mm-hmm. and everyone told me don't go for him, don't go for him.
Is he really good looking?
But no, like, hold on. As we got in the car, we had my other cousin, Paige, with us. Mm. Now, Taylor's been in love with Theo for, like, 6 years, and Paige met Theo, like, last year, and Paige likes Theo.
6 years?
Like, mm-hmm. shame, poor girl.
Oh,
and then, so now we get in, now, like, if anyone kisses Theo from my side of the group, like, it upsets Taylor. Like,
of course.
It's
been,
my cousins.
She's been pining for him.
So now, as Paige and I pick up Robin, now Paige is my cousin, Paige says to Robin, Theo's off limits, like, for Taylor. Don't go for Theo. So that's the first thing she told Robin. Like, we haven't even seen Robin in, like, so long. She's like, don't go for Theo. So we're like, okay, cool.
All right.
So now, so we
What is this Theo must have some, he must have some special... He's a fuckboy, right?
Okay.
All right, so as a I mean, is he a good-looking fuckboy, or is he just a fuckboy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
really?
That leather jacket.
Oh, wow.
And that style with the hair.
What's the hair? Yeah. Describe this guy to us so that we have some idea of why he would be attracted to so many
got,
women.
Like your type of like the top.
Oh, okay. Very sexy then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. And he's not. Is he with anybody at the moment, or is he just?
No,
got,
he doesn't. He doesn't date because he gets around quite a bit.
Okay, so Taylor's got this thing for him.
She but loves him.
But she can't get there.
No,
she's too shy. What's the score?
No, she gets too wild, and then he's like, "Earl, like I don't want to go near."
Have they
that.
Connected before? Has there been any spark before?
They have like hooked up, but like it's almost like a shame he does it because he feels bad, which is not nice.
That's terrible, poor Taylor.
So and then now we go to this house party and whatever. So
what does Taylor look like?
She's gorgeous. She's also really nice. She's crazy. So and then we go to this house party, and now everyone gets drunk. Robin was the first one to be drunk.
Yeah, Robin, look at you. What do you hit? What kind of drinks are we doing here?
I had wine. Was it rosé?
Oh.
Yeah. I usually have vodka.
Classy it up.
Oh, yeah. This is because you guys couldn't find an open bottle store.
Yeah, we went to Spa.
Because God alone knows, wine is your last resort. Okay. And then what happens with the Taylor, Theo, and Robin situation?
So now Robin stays like away from Theo completely.
Uh-huh. Good for you. Well done. I respect that.
So everything's great. Taylor's looking good. Theo's looking good. We're all having a good time. And then like my cousin Paige, she just gets drunk and then she starts hooking up with Theo.
Oh. So now your cousin, the other cousin Paige, not Robin who's sitting with us.
No.
She hooks up with the guy who Taylor likes. This is going to cause massive ructions.
So Taylor, she just kicked off. Like, she just went crazy.
Oh. Mm. It started hitting people?
Tears are flowing.
Oh.
Drama. Lots of crying.
So who takes control in these situations, Amanda? Is it you?
Me.
You seem like the responsible person in this group.
But it was really hard for me because, like, Theo is one of my best friends. Taylor's, my best friend. And then Paige is my cousin.
What's the appropriate action to tell Theo to get out?
Pretty much. So I told him to, like, F off, like, 1,000 times.
Yeah, so you could bring the women in and, like, calm them down.
But then Paige disappeared, walked out of the gate, now I live in, like, a boomed area. So then Theo ran after Paige. So then,
the
obviously,
drama.
Taylor's like, where's Theo? And then we're like,
Oh, what a lot of drama.
It was just too bad. But Robin had a good time. We hardly saw her at the party.
Oh, well, Robin was so drunk by this stage, she could care less. She thought all of it was entertainment for her.
She was occupied.
She thought you guys were putting on a play. Okay, so what's the story now? Taylor's not in the group for the moment. She's sulking.
Taylor doesn't want to see Paige, and she doesn't really want to see Theo. Like, I even got a voice note from her, and I was like, oh, Theo says hey. And then she, bursts out laughing, and she's like, Theo can enjoy chilling without me, and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so she's maybe moving on from him.
Hopefully.
Which is probably a good thing, because it's been 6 years and nothing's happened.
Because even when I phoned her mom was like, oh, is it Theo again?
All right, so no designs on your part, Robin, to hook up with this Theo, who seems to be like a honeypot for all the girls in the group. They just, every girl wants to get involved with this guy, this fuck boy.
Yes.
Wow. You want to as well?
No, I don't want to, no.
Have you found any good-looking South African boys while you've been here?
I find the country boys, like the Boer Okies.
Oh, the Boer Okies, okay.
Because you're on that farm, aren't you?
But there's no farm okies there. It's only in town. When I go into town, I always dress up and like, okay, look good. And then I go into...
What is it about them? Is it like the short shorts? Is it the...
They're just...
The short shorts. That's such a sexy look. I've seen so many women who just can't get enough of the short shorts or the ball hugging. The ball hugging and the white, the pale white skin that the pops out underneath.
I feel like Sia's also getting in on this. So go
I just
ahead.
Want visuals.
You know, it's the muscles and it's the length. Like, they're so tall. And yes. They're so much better than Australian guys. I'm sorry, but yeah. Australian guys to me now, they've got longer hair than me, and they're skinny, and they're druggos, and they're just...
Druggos.
They ping us. Yeah. Tell
what
them
about
ping
someone here called Barry says, please tell us about Bogans.
Bogans?
Yeah.
They're like the rednecks, but Australian. They're like...
Okay.
They drive their Holden Commodores, they have their green bags, they have their diaries, and they have their... Their government gives them money because...
Oh, so they're on welfare.
Yeah.
And how do they sound? Do they sound different to the rest of Australians?
Yes, they
how
sound,
do they sound
so
can
lazy.
You do a Bogan sound?
I don't know. It's just like, oh, there's like...
Tell me about the weather today in a Bogan accent.
Okay, let me think. It's real... I can't do the accent. It's
I'm just trying to get a feel for them.
It's just really hot and it's just...
It's hot?
It's hot.
Ooh.
And just... Sweaty.
She doesn't mean hot in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Oh, I was.
And they got mullets.
Yes, they do.
I kind of sound like this.
Yeah, they do. They talk like that.
Kind of sound like this.
Yeah, they do.
Hello, how you doing? Are you alright?
Yeah, that's it.
I got you. Yeah. All right. Now, Amanda says you're not allowed to tell any of her secrets, so obviously we're going to respect that. She's new to the team, and we want her to settle in and not be embarrassed. But she doesn't really do any embarrassing stuff. She's quite well behaved, from what I gather. And she seems to be the one who controls the rest of you lunatics.
Yeah, she's like the mum.
Yeah, she's a bit like the mum.
Yeah.
But I think Amanda can let loose.
Yeah, she did.
She doesn't mind. She parties hard.
Yeah, she does.
Right.
She goes full out.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll catch up with you a little bit later, Robin.
Okay.
But enjoy your morning with us. Go and grab yourself a coffee. Yeah. We've got some lovely Frontier coffee here. We've got some Aqua Vita water in the fridge. And for anything stronger, you'll have to wait until after 10.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put some vodka in my coffee.
Too. All right. Very good. There we are. All right. Excellent. Nice to meet you.
All right. No worries. Thanks
for coming to talk to us this morning. We'll hopefully get to know you a little bit better today.
Yes,
a little bit later.
Definitely will. You'll see me around.
Very good. All right. There we go, everybody. That's Amanda's cousin, Robin, who's hanging out with us this morning. Exciting, Mubs.
Oh, to be young.
Oh, come on. Like, you're so ancient and old. She says here, sitting with skin that hasn't aged in 20 years.
I'm just saying, like, you know, one's priorities at age 19 were so different to now. I'm just having, like, flashbacks.
Not for you. Yours are almost the same as hers.
I'm just having flashbacks
about?
On when life was simple, you know?
All right. Well, it's very exciting. I mean, listen, also, piercings and tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
Sigh.
It's good to be young. It's good to be excited and to look forward to the weekend, which is only a day away. Right now, it's time for the news. It is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Yes, and they've got a new store in Eastgate, a new store in Northcliffe. They're up and running if you want to go check them out. They also have a vegan menu. So anybody who's interested in a few new vegan dishes in the winter menu, go and check out colcacchios.co.za or go to near a store. We had some here the other night. Always, always good. Never disappoints. And you know the nice thing about the pizzas? Everybody was talking about this on Tuesday night when we had our meeting. Is you never feel heavy after a Colcacchio pizza. The thin base, you don't get that, just ate a pizza, now I can't move feeling. You get that kind of, I can have some more of this. I can fill it up.
You don't get the cheese sweats either.
The cheese sweats. What are involved in
you know when there's so much cheese in a pizza, you actually get the cheese sweats?
Oh,
you don't get that with
the
Colcacchio.
Over to the best newswoman in the business. It's Mabale Moloi.
You better recognize.
Damn
yes.
Right.
Okay, according to the ANC Secretary General, Gwede Mantashe.
No.
Yes. President Jacob Zuma may be removed as head of state after a December conference when a new leader of the ruling ANC will be chosen.
What the fuck are you saying?
But let's not get excited here, folks, because as we all know, the president has survived numerous calls to resign from sections of the ANC in recent months. And this is following a string of corruption scandals, waning public support, economic instability. We're now in a technical recession.
Yeah, somehow you just can't dislodge this guy. He just won't quit.
Though the president can remain South African president until an election in 2019, senior ANC sources who are opposed to him have told the media that they will push for his removal as head of state shortly after he steps down as party leader in December.
He don't care.
No, he does not. I'm just thinking. So then, come December, they have this national conference.
Right.
He steps down as ANC president. Does he then move to Dubai? Like, when does the Dubai move happen?
I think it depends on how much we hate him at that point. I think he's only going to go to Dubai. That's like the backup plan. Otherwise, he can always sell that house and stay in Kandla.
Mm.
I think this is his plan. If like we pitch up with pitchforks and burning torches at his front door, then he's going to go, get the jet ready. We're going to do an Arab adventure. All right. Not so funny when that happens. But up to then, he's cool. All right. So that's the plan, huh?
That is the plan, according to ANC Secretary General Gwede Mantashe. Now, Western Cape, I don't know what you've done recently to deserve the stuff that's happening to you of late. If it wasn't the storms that, you know, moved across the peninsula the other day, it's now howling winds.
God is against the DA, it's clear. God is totally against the DA. He sends floods, and first of all, he sends drought. Then he sends severe
storms
which wash people off the foreshore. Then he sends fires to Knysna. He's not punishing Kwadukuza. He's not punishing Ikuruleni. He's not punishing Kwamashu and Mangaung and all these other places that the ANC have strongholds in. Huh? He's punishing the DA, and it's because Helen Zille wouldn't say sorry and step down.
Well, speaking of Helen Zille, she apparently said that, you know, the only reason that the DA suspended her is because she's white, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's focus on this fire, though, because it broke out last night, right?
Yes.
Up to 10,000 people have been evacuated from Knysna as a result of these fires.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's no joke that my lady's housemate's mother was like trying to drive away with her important possessions in the car. The fire trucks stopped her. She's like 70. They stopped her, said, you can't use this road to get out. It's blocked. And they had to like walk down a steep embankment through the wilderness to the beach, get picked up by a boat and taken to an island.
It's terrifying.
And this is like my lady's housemate's mom. So it's pretty close to home. It's like the whole town apparently was on evacuation alert and thousands of people leaving. And she saw her house burn down.
Oh my God.
And she had like her prized possession, super personal stuff in the car, which she had to then leave on the side of the road and will not find out for a while whether it's still there or not.
Poor woman. I mean, you imagine you lose everything. Most of us spend our lives putting money into our property and into our own little home, which we think is going to be safe. And I mean, you build it in a beautiful place like Knysna. You think, I'm going to die here one day, surrounded by my cats. And I'll have some things that make me think of the family and the friends I've got. And one day, you see the flames coming. And you've got 15 minutes to put the stuff you really care about in the car, and you think, well, I'll just hightail it out of here, and then you have to leave even that behind. Jesus. I mean, it's very sad.
Well,
it's very sad.
Three people died from that fire so far, and I think it was a total of five people who died as a result of the storm the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that entire Western Cape area is just going through a lot right now.
Well, we're thinking of you people. And I do want to say that all those people who checked in as safe in Cape Town on Facebook, you should be embarrassed and humiliated about. I mean, what are you checking in? This is used for when there is a terror attack or there's a major natural disaster, not when the waves come a little bit too fast over the Sea Point foreshore, please. Let's all, there are people who live in gardens who were checking in as safe on Facebook yesterday. You should be ashamed of yourself. People in Constantia who think that this bad weather is something to check in safe as. In
my Cape sister did as well.
Yeah, you tell her to stop that, all right, Sia? Come on.
Marked as safe during the storm the other day.
Bitch, please.
You know, the latest update to come from the Nyasa municipality, this was at like 10 minutes to 6.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that the fire is still not under control.
Oh, man.
The firefighters are still battling that monster there. Gift of the Givers have now gotten involved. AA are involved. Oof. It's, you know...
ugly.
It's ugly, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm really... I don't even know what to say in these sort of situations. It just seems to me like such a nasty situation. And if you are one of those people who's literally running for your life, we're thinking about you. That's all I can say. It's just awful. I hope they manage to put this fire out. The flames were so high. I saw these videos yesterday. Again, thanks to... social media is way better than the news, just by the way. You want to know what's going on? Hop onto Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You'll see the real story. ENCA, I turned them on last night. They got some one tiny shitty video that they're showing that doesn't even give you an idea of the scale of this thing. I saw footage online that made all the news networks, all of them, look like they were fast asleep.
I got a homie named Ryan, used to work with him. He's a video animator. Yeah. He lives in Cape Town. And he just, for shits and giggles, because he literally enjoys his job a lot.
Yes.
Superimposed a tornado coming down the promenade and shared it as if to say, hey, look how good my videos are. Now, obviously, like, people rip it immediately and reshare it as their own, and now that video is doing the rounds.
He's like, people think it's real.
It looks pretty legit, though. He's got skills.
That's funny. You know, they're also, you can put up during crises, you can create a status where you offer to help people. So you could say, I've got clothes or blankets or any of that stuff. A lot of guys are taking advantage of this, saying, send nudes, urgent, send nudes, we need nudes. And then one guy, his name is Wesley, he put up a status 29 minutes ago saying, I'm willing to help any females get undressed near Wembley Square in Cape Town, offering clothing for 50 people. Isn't that nice of him? Let's give him a round of applause. What a humanitarian.
So
what a philanthropist.
Just wonderful.
So ladies, really, send nudes urgently if you're in Cape Town and you want to help with the crisis. Send nudes.
Just specifically for the record, sending them to where, Gareth?
To Wesley.
Wesley Muller is his name.
Okay. Good luck, Wesley.
And then Mandlotando Kupelia says, bring large pizzas, please. He's in Khayelitsha. I love people. Oh, this is great. Ankia says that a friend of mine in Plett just had to evacuate too. Luckily, her dad lives in a safer area in Plett. Packed bags, two kids, two cats. So scary. Sure.
Yeah, apparently a couple of schools have burned down. A hospital had to be evacuated.
Man, this is horrible.
But I also heard stories of there being flooding in Plett.
Well, I mean, it never rains, it pours, huh?
But there's like ridiculous fires and flooding.
Yeah, they're getting it all.
Someone's having a laugh here.
I know.
This must look amazing to someone.
A lot of very rich people have actually flown up to Joburg just for the next couple of days. Send nudes. All right, let's get into the sport. What do you got, Ben?
Well, I got the Proteus choking the crap out of it again.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, I said yesterday, quite confidently, SA should have no problems with Pakistan. Captain Abby de Villiers said something similar, of course.
Yeah.
And, well,
look,
they did.
Happened.
They had a lot of problems. They started all right. They won the toss and decided to bat. And they were 40 for no loss. And then Umlo went out. Then de Kock went out. And then Abby de Villiers got a duck, first baller. And then Pfaff went out. It was just crap. It was just absolute crap. 118 for 6 because Parnell and Dumney also again did absolutely bugger all. But David Miller, someone who I was called a racist for backing just over a year ago, because of course he's white, he seems to be the only batsman we've got left in that middle order right now. 75 not out. Amazing effort. Sadly, there was just no support. Chris Morris tried. All right. Kakisa Rabada tried as well. 219 on a pitch, which was probably about a 260, 270 pitch. Absolute dog shit, though. And if you think, this Pakistani team doesn't really have a lot of stars, but as we've seen so many times these ICC tournaments, these guys adapt. Somehow they adapt. I mean, they don't know where they're playing cricket next month, but they can adapt to a pitch. Our guys, I mean, if the ball's not coming onto the bat, suddenly it's like, oh, we don't know what to do. They start playing crap shots, and then they just absolutely buckle. And we've seen it all too often. So 219, it then started to piss down with rain, at which stage the Pakistan had enough runs for Duckworth Lewis. So as I said prior to the tournament, actually, if there's rain and there's a cricket tournament, the Proteas probably won't win it. But it was just a dire performance yesterday.
I must quickly read you a status one of my friends put up. If I had a rand for every time we lost to Duckworth Lewis, I would pump all those many rands into quantum mechanics, precipitating a subsequent breakthrough in time travel, hire someone to go back in time, as I don't trust time travel as yet, tell those English pricks they're stupid and the whole concept of their method is flawed, and maybe we'd win once or twice.
It's a very good point, Gareth. Yeah. And also, otherwise, you'd have lots and lots of rands. So that means that South Africa basically have to beat India. And look, it's doable. Of course it's doable. This team is not crap. It's just they have such bad performance issues. Maybe that makes
them
crap.
Shame. Well, that is crap, Ben. I mean, I don't know what your definition of crap is. But
maybe I'm always living in this illusion, but I hate it. It's just annoying. Anyway, in tennis, talking about choking the crap out of it, Novak Djokovic. Oh, indeed. John McEnroe says that he just gave up. He just gave up.
Well.
So Djokovic collapsed 7-6, 6-3, 6-love. He lost to Dominic Thiem. He's no longer in the French Open. Nadal's left arm went through because that's Karina Busta or whatever his name was. He didn't last long. Two sets retired hurt. So that's that side of the draw. Andy Murray beat Kei Nishikori. And then some other guy's going to play Murray. Sorry, it's escaped me right now.
Some other guy.
Wawrinka. That's the dude. Yeah. Wawrinka's pretty good.
Stanislav.
Yeah. So that's your semi-final draw. Murray versus Wawrinka. Nadal's left arm versus Thiem. So you got seeds 1, 3, 4, and 6. Not a bad return there. The men are really putting it together here. In the women's side of things, Halep with the dodgy ankle. She beats...
It always sounds like you're saying Halep, but you're not saying it properly. That name makes me laugh every time I hear it. All right.
Halep, yeah. She beats Svitolina. That was my pick. Yeah, Svitolina started well, 6-3, so I thought this is it. And then Halep came back 7-6 in the second, and Svitolina was so crestfallen from that she went on to lose the third set 6-love. So that's all done there. So looking at the semi-final draw for the women, we've got Ostapenko and Baczynski. Interesting thing about that match is that it's birthdays today. What a joyous occasion.
Okay.
That'll be the first semi-final, and then Halep will take on Pliskova. So you got unseeded Ostapenko versus the 30th seed Baczynski, and then the third seed Halep versus second seed Pliskova. All to play for in the French Open if the rain can stay away. Oh. Well, yeah, that's pretty exciting. Well, look, I guess if there's no Djokovic or Williams, a lot of your sort of neutral fence-sitting tennis fans couldn't give a toss, but there's still lots to play for there. Speaking of lots to play for, it is Springboks versus France this weekend. Now, as I said, the French aren't going to have their best team, so let's maybe get more excited about this next week. The Springboks, however, well, they'll announce their side today.
Mm-hmm.
No Dwayne Vermeulen because he's got a dodgy shoulder. Alistair Coetzee, well, there's going to be obviously a huge amount of changes from the team that played England last. That was their last test match. Not England. Oh, they lost so many times. I think it was Wales. The team that lost to Wales. Very, very different to that. But the loose trio is going to be the big one because they need to start combining as a unit if this team's going to go forward. And I just can't see it happening. So the selection around that is going to be vital. Warren Whiteley, of course, will be the eighth man because he's the captain. That's one pick I can tell you about. Other than that, Cristiano Ronaldo is still the richest man in all of sport. He made $93 million last year, followed by LeBron James, who made only $86 million. Lionel Messi, way back on $80 million. Huh. Only one woman in that whole top 100 by Forbes is Serena Williams. And no South Africans, which is quite sad. But I'll tweet that link out in a sec. Huh. And finally, Gareth, in the world of football, it seems that porn is making its way onto the field.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell us more. Like, does she have a car?
Well, RedTube, right? You know what RedTube is?
Yes, it's a porn
it's like
site.
YouPorn.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's YouTube, but for porn. So they are sponsoring an amateur U.S. football team.
Oh, yeah?
Soccer team. So basically, these two guys came together after a couple of drinks and said, it would be really cool if we get a porn site to sponsor our team. So they put a few mock-ups together with the Red Tube logo on their shirt, sent it off, got a lot of likes on social media. Red Tube now sponsor these guys.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, this is important. You know, I don't understand why there's a lot of sponsors who think that branding and, you know, social media, you've got to be very careful. Sometimes when you take a risk, you get the massive reward. Now, if you're Red Tube and you're suddenly sponsoring a football team, people don't expect that and they will remember it. What you got to do in my... Listen, I'll give you this free marketing lesson. All those dumb marketing managers all across South Africa don't know what they're doing and keep wondering why they're not getting the traction that they want. Here's the best lesson you'll ever get. To break through the clutter, do something unexpected. And in other words, if you're an insurance company, sponsor free porn. If you're a company that does plumbing, get involved in cricket. No one would expect that. You'll stick out. People go, what?
Will it match the CI, Gareth?
Why would the toilet fixing people be sponsoring a cricket team? Well, because our cricket team's toilet is the answer.
How do you think the players feel?
Doesn't matter.
Pretty
who
happy.
Cares.
Pretty
they,
happy.
They'll take whatever money they can get out of a sponsor sponsoring the shirts.
Well, look, there is that. I mean, people had a big stink about the fact that the team from Durban in cricket were the Hollywood Bets Dolphins.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Well, gambling and cricket and match fixing is a bit of a taboo subject, but here we've got Hollywood Bets Dolphins coming out to bat in a game they should win. Anyway, so Red Tube Army is now even a hashtag that they've put onto the team. So they've got a great marketing strategy. It's as simple as that.
And then you bring in, you see, if you're in porn like Red Tube and you get involved in soccer, you bring a bunch of the porn fans to soccer and some of the soccer fans to porn. This is called crossover.
Exactly. Prior to this day, did you ever care about Washington Square FC, an amateur soccer team in America?
Never heard of it. And now, here we are in South Africa talking about them.
All over the news of the world, Red Tube's getting, it's a lovely marriage of opportunity.
Oh, the marketing team will be so happy now. They'll do little campaigns like, to get more balls, go to...
Yeah, not like, these big brands who get all precious about their brand, what do they call it?
Identity, corporate identity.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
They get all excited about it. Let's not forget that the word brand, where it comes from, is that people used to brand their slaves so that you knew who the slaves belonged to. It's not exactly a great thing to be aspiring to, your brand being well known and well seen and curated in the social media. You know what will happen? One little thing can upset all of your best laid plans.
Yep. Well, ask Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. And final story, the British and Irish Lions, the big team in New Zealand, they just lost to the fifth best Super Rugby team in New Zealand, the Blues. The Blues won 22-16, and wow, what a result. It's because the Lions don't lose to provincial teams, basically, and their first big test, and they've lost. They play the Crusaders on Saturday. Yay. More of the weekend's fixes tomorrow.
Couple of questions before we get to Anthea. Sia, it sounds like when you were talking to Extra earlier, you want some Blast Boys as well. You don't have to confirm or deny. Sia wants himself some Afrikaner Vors in short shorts. And then Rusty saying, is Skolopat still on the couch?
So can someone check?
We've got to talk about this just now. There's quite a backstory to Skolopat. And we only got the tip of the iceberg yesterday from Amanda, who was asked for 6 slices of bread for Skolopat. Apparently, she had a whole entourage. Mm. We only saw 1 or 2 of them. But there were a whole bunch of people in the car outside waiting.
There were?
Yeah.
There was a car?
There was a car. They just didn't have fuel. That's why they asked me for some money to get to Rondberg.
Oh. Yeah.
Very exciting stuff that went on here with Skolopat. It's an exciting place. I think we're the only people who gave Skolopat an interview. Mm. And we're the only ones who treated her with any respect. You know, the newspapers are making fun of her. They're saying that she only shows her ass and they take embarrassing pictures of her. And we wanted to find out about her and her daughter who inspired her to go into music, her job as a nurse. There's a lot of challenges in music these days that people don't realize.
I was Coco-san.
Yeah. Exactly. It's Coco-san.
It's Coco-san.
So let's look back on that excellent discussion with Skolopat. And if you need to hear it for yourself, all you need to do is listen to the podcasts. You can find them on cliffcentral.com. If we didn't do these things, the newspapers would have nothing to write about. Times Live yesterday had to jack our whole story so that they had something in their newspaper and on their website. But you know what? We don't mind. We're very generous about these kinds of things. We like people to share in our joy when we discover things about Skolopat. Let's get to Anthea, shall we? Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
Well, yesterday I got a message from Anthea at like 9:05 saying, oh, what a horrible opening to the markets. Did it get better?
Oh, I'm afraid not. But we're not the only ones that are suffering. I think global markets were softer, like almost all of them yesterday. There's a couple of things holding us back. The Middle East tensions still very high on the agenda. Of course, we've got the British elections today. Apparently, James Comey releases his testimony today, which everyone's worried will impact Trump's effectiveness in putting forward his economic agenda. Yeah. And then also we've got the ECB policy meeting today.
Oh. Can I just ask you quickly about the UK elections, because it affected our portfolios quite badly when Brexit happened. Do you imagine that if somehow Jeremy Corbyn, that filthy socialist, if he pulls a rabbit out of the hat and manages to upset Theresa May's plans, do you think that this would be good or bad for our portfolio?
It'll be bad for our portfolio because I think the sterling will weaken, yeah, and it'll have an impact on, again, Brett and capital and counties.
Right.
So really, we actually, believe it or not, want Theresa May to win.
All right. No, well, I'm very happy to accept that. I think it would be good for the whole world compared to the alternative. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then our local market, we were down about 0.25%. As you can guess, after the news of the recession, financials and retailers were under pressure again. The rand seems to be relatively stable, which, again, kind of is inexplicable. But then the dollar's fairly weak as well, so maybe it's a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, if the rand is holding strong, then we don't get the positive impact from the rand hedge shares making up for losses in the local shares, unfortunately. And it really feels just very heavy. In the last week, the all shares down over 3% already. Naspers is now back to a 2,621 rand share. Didn't take long to come back, did it? I mean, I think in Naspers still the fundamentals are good, but it's sentiment that's driving the share lower now. Or most of our shares lower. I mean, okay.
Right, but Anthea, you always tell us, I'm gonna try and be the voice of reason you usually are. You always tell us that you're in this for the long haul. You're not here to make quick trades. That means that you just got to hang in when there's uncertainty like this, because usually it picks up much better afterwards.
Yes, thanks for the reminder.
You know, once things settle down and people stop panicking, it gets better.
Exactly. And actually, Steinhoff is such a good example of that, because that's one of the biggest weightings in our portfolio. And yesterday they released their interim results, of course, because it's such a big weighting in our portfolio, lots of eyes on it. And it really is a story of like two halves almost. So on the one hand, you've got organic sales growth up and strongly up, you know, revenues up 9%, operating profit up 21%. But on the other hand, you've got margins down to 8.8% in Steinhoff. And the problem there is, I think there's a lot of potential for Steinhoff. I mean, the U.S. bedding market is up 7% year on year. We saw Tempur Sealy's results up, sales up 15% last week. But then the share was down almost 5% at one stage yesterday. And because people are worried that they might have paid too much for Mattress Firm, or that Mattress Firm is not delivering the way they should. And also, Steinhoff paid a fairly rich price for Mattress Firm, a 30 times price earnings ratio. But I think there is still lots of runway for Steinhoff. But guess what? Yesterday, the share was under pressure because people look at it short term and go, oh, no, we don't like what's happening. Anyway, if I didn't have so many sign-offs in my portfolio, I think I would have bought more yesterday, actually.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, I'm more concerned about those goddamn Brits.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, well, let's hope Theresa May wins, shall we?
You think it's going to knock them up a fair amount?
If the pound strengthens, yes.
All right. I'll hold thumbs. Is there anything you would buy besides Steinhoff at the moment? I mean, you know, some of these shares have dropped to some pretty decent prices. Is there anything that you would add to the portfolio if you just had extra cash lying around?
So Comair is quite a nice one. That's the local airline. So we don't generally like airline shares, but it has been under quite a bit of pressure lately. And the oil price has come down significantly. Now, the thing with Comair is that the oil, that only 30% of their revenues impacted by the oil price because they've done really well to hedge themselves. Mm-hmm. And their CEO has been talking the share up and having kind of, he's got a lot of good plans in place. So I think as a short-term trade, you could potentially buy Kame, I think. But watch it because it will be volatile. So it's around, where is it now? It's just below 5 rand a share. I think it could easily go to 6 rand, which is nice. It's a 20% upside, right?
All right. Cool. I'll take your advice.
Yeah. And then before I go, I have to just tell you about business confidence because that was released yesterday by the SA Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. for May. Nice. The number was 93.2, the lowest number in 7 months. Now, besides the monthly comparison.
What does that number mean? It's not a percentage, surely.
No, it's an index.
Okay.
Which is why I want to put it in perspective. So besides this like 7 month low, I looked at the annual averages yesterday, and in 2010, this index was 115. 2011, it climbed to 116, and from then it was just a constant downtrend. 109 in 2012, then 106, 104, 100, last year 93.5, and yesterday 93.2. So you can see it's just kind of slipped. And the concern with business confidence is, when you're in a recession, businesses don't want to spend, they don't want to expand, they don't want to employ people, which is the one thing you really need them to do to kickstart the economy and to get us out of this recession. So I think it really is a worrying downward spiral. And more than ever, we need government, and I know what you're going to tell me, we need government to step up and say, let's focus on the economy and get things moving. But they forget, don't they?
Have they?
Well, they don't.
Has this government made a single move in the right direction for the last 4 months that would help the economy rather than hurt it? Is there one thing you can pinpoint that was a positive, smart, economic growth, job creation move? Is there one? I hear silence.
Yes, sorry. Nothing off the top of I really was thinking about it.
No, I can't imagine there is, and I've read a lot of economists' columns in the last little while saying exactly that this is actually wanton destructiveness on the part of the government in order to bring the people of this country down rather than up. It's almost as if they want us to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere else, there are economies around us that are growing.
I'm assuming you saw Guedes' comment, was it yesterday or the day before, about how he blamed business for the recession. Must have been yesterday.
Right? Yeah, I love that. I mean, a politician who has no idea of how business works, other than to pillage it from within, telling business that they're responsible for the recession that is clearly politically negatively being affected by politics. I don't even know how to deal with someone like that. He's clearly still living in Stalinist Russia.
It's madness. It really is madness.
And by the way, these people who say that kind of thing, they operate from the premise that the state can create a society and an economy and change, right? But then when it happens and the state is the main actor in that kind of negative downturn, then they immediately go, well, it must be business's fault. So suddenly the state is incapable of affecting things. They want it both ways, in other words.
We need to get them one of those plaques. There was a U.S. president who had on his desk, the buck stops here. Who's
Ronald
that?
Reagan.
We need to get them one of those, every single one of our politicians.
No, they don't want that responsibility. They don't have any sense of accountability. Forget about it, Anthea. You're living in cloud cuckoo land. How dare you?
Right, okay.
All right, well, let's look forward to a Theresa May victory today so that we don't lose all of our money.
Indeed. All thanks, right. Gareth.
Thanks. There we go, Anthea Gardner. Quick look at the markets, a quick look at the economy, and some inferences drawn from business confidence, too. All right, when we come back in a moment or two, we will catch up with all the news. We'll find out what's going on in Knysna, in Cape Town. We've got correspondents all over the country, believe it or not. And if you want to be our correspondent, we need storm correspondents, Mubs. People who are able to call in from various parts of the country that are affected by adverse weather and all kinds of other things, and tell us eyewitness stories of what's going on.
Yeah, fearless storm reporters like that guy whose picture went viral, a South African guy who was mowing his lawn with a tornado right behind him.
What a legend.
I don't know if you saw that picture.
Yes.
He's a legend.
But you know what I love about these last 2 days, and there's not a lot to love about what's going on in the Western Cape, but it is that ordinary people with their cell phones are capturing better footage and reporting the news better than any of the professional networks. There isn't a single news site, there isn't a single news channel on television, there isn't a single radio show that is reporting news better than ordinary citizens are. So think of yourself from now on, please, as being our reporters. And call us with your stories. Tell us what's going on. The chances are we'll get a much more objective and clear picture from you than we will from anybody else. In an era of fake news, we've got to rely on each other. That's how we'll know if it's true or not, right? Don't laugh at me. I'm trying to be serious. How dare you? All right, everybody, let's get cracking.
Do you recall when we met? Put it alone.
CliffCentral.com.